this morning. And he gave me a subject, and it's called Living Above the Snake Line. Does anybody know about living above the snake line? Well, the early settlers, even here in Connecticut and Massachusetts, when they came to settle in this country, they built their houses up high. The reason why they built their houses up high is because after a certain level, snakes and serpents won't go that high up. Amen. But when you look down in the valley, it looks so luscious and so green, so beautiful. But when you go down in that valley, all these venomous snakes and serpents would be there. And just like those settlers had to place their houses above the snake line, there's a spiritual snake line. Come on, somebody. I said there's a spiritual snake line where we have to be above that snake line. Or else we're going to be down in the valley where the snakes and the serpents are. Amen? Now, God, in his wisdom, has told us about this snake line, and he has also told us how we should live to be out of that snake line, to be above that line and not down in the valley. So if you open your Bibles to 1 Colossians, verses 9 through 17. And here is Paul and Timothy talking to the Colossians. And they're telling them about what wonderful people they are, how blessed they are, and how happy Paul and Timothy are to know them and to hear that they're doing the Lord's will. So when we come to verse 9, he gives them a little information. He says, "For this reason, since the day that we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So what Paul is talking about is the supremacy of the Son of God. And when he talks to the people at Colossus, he says, "For this reason, we are praying for you continually, that God will fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." I just want to stop right there for a minute, because Paul is saying that we are continually asking God to fill you with knowledge through his will, through the Spirit. He's not saying through books. He's not saying through going to school. But he's saying fill you with the knowledge of his will through the Spirit. Amen? So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. Remember, we're talking about living above that snake line. Now, to live a life worthy according to the Lord, you have to live above that snake line. I venture to say that we don't know where the snake line is sometimes. And when we find ourselves in situation, we're below that snake line. Amen? But if you are listening to the Spirit, you won't go below that snake line. Because he says, we'll give you the knowledge through the Spirit, the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Amen? So there's a couple of things that I want you to know today about that snake line. Number one, we have been elevated above the snake line. We have been enlightened about the snake line. And we have been empowered against the snake line. Amen? So we have been elevated above the snake line. When we were born into this world, we were born into sin. The Bible makes it clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Add that to the fact that every sinner is dead in trespasses and sin. The scripture says, and that we all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That says to me that Satan has power. Because they called them the prince with the power in this air, the spirit that worked in the children of disobedience. Now remember, the other week we talked about being obedient and disobedient. And if you are a child of God, you cannot be a child of God and be disobedient. Amen? So now the image becomes very clear. The word of God is teaching us that every lost person in the world lives below that snake line. From the time that you were born, since you were born into sin, you were born below that snake line. Your good deeds, your good manners do not get you above that snake line. Amen? We were born into sin and trespass according to the scripture. Amen? So we were born below that snake line. And you know that when people are living below that snake line, they prove it by the way that they live every day. They prove it by the things that they do. Amen? Just like the children of Israel in the wilderness, those that are below the snake line have been bitten by the serpent of sin. The first image that we have of the devil is a snake. The first image we have of the snake misinforming our people, Adam and Eve, he was in the form of a serpent. So my God, I say that when we are got to be above that snake line, that means that we got to be at a higher level where that snake dare not come. But when you're at a level where you're not that far above that snake line, he could be right there teasing you, and you're going to fall for it. Below that snake line is a place of hopelessness. Below that snake line is a place of spiritual poverty and weariness, exhaustion, and collapse. Below that line is sorrow, confusion, and pain. Below that line is broken hearts, shattered dreams, ruined relationships, and troubled mind. It is the place where the serpent injects his poisonous venom all over. If you want to go through those things, go below that line. That's not to say that you won't have pain and sorrow and some other things that are going on in us physically. But if you want to wallow in it, because things do happen, God does allow things to happen to us. But there's a difference and there's a choice. The choice is this. If there's mud here, I can choose to stay in that mud. So consider the mud the snake line. below the snake line. But every day I can get up out of that mud and clean myself up. Amen? Now you say, well, Pastor, why do you say that? I say that because Scripture has already let us know that we sin, that we do sin, that we do have things we have to ask for forgiveness. So we do go down into below that snake line, okay? And when we go down below that snake line, it's not necessarily something that we physically do. So what I'm saying is that when you get in the mud, you don't physically get in the mud, but your heart is in the mud. And when your heart is in the mud, that's a dangerous place to be in. That's a dangerous place to be in because your heart is so much associated with what you think and what you feel and how you act. We always say, oh, it's in my heart to do this for you. It's in my heart to say this to you. It's in my heart to get this for you. But there's a lot of other things that can be in our heart. Amen? The lowland is a very dangerous place for us to be in. That's why we always gotta check our hearts. Now, the Bible, the death that the Bible refers to in the Scripture is not just the death that leads us going to the cemetery. Amen? But it's the death and the loss of the eternity. Amen? Of being separated eternally from God Himself. And here's how the New Testament says, in the flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. So it says you're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Amen? Because when we die, we are going to be in the presence. We want to be in the presence of the Lord. When that rapture happens, we want to be caught up to meet Him in the air. Amen? The song we sing, caught up to meet Him, caught up to meet Him. I want to be caught up to meet Him in the air. Amen? The condition of the sinner is lost. But when a person comes to Jesus Christ for salvation, that person is lifted up out of that low valley of sin. Amen? That person is lifted up above that snake line. Amen? But let me just stop here for a minute. You need not just to be lifted up. You see, because the higher you go, the further you are away from the snake line. Have you ever been to a farm, an animal farm, a zoo, or something like that? You don't necessarily have to be right near the elephant's cage to smell the elephants. Amen? So if you don't want to smell them, you got to go far away. So when you get saved, you're still right by the snake line. And you have to elevate yourself with sanctification and an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So you can get as far away from the snake line. I guess if you want to know what I'm trying to say to you today, is we need elevation. We need elevation from that line where the snake is. Because he's still there. He's still in distance. You can still see him and you can still smell him. In verse 12 to 14, Paul tells us as a believer how to get there. So consider the language that Paul uses here. He says, God is our Father. So whenever a sinner comes to Jesus for salvation, that sinner is adopted into the family of God. He says, we have been made to meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So it says that we have an inheritance, and then we can become partakers. So if you're not saved, you don't have an inheritance, and you cannot be a partaker. Amen? But what this also means is that each and every one of us are going to be given our portion. You see, when we sit down and we eat a meal, we are partakers, and everybody gets their portion. Amen? Scripture's telling us as partakers, as being saved, we will be partakers, as well as those who are already dead in Christ. Amen? Because there is hope in Christ down the road for each and every child of the Lord. In verse 13, he says, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. I said Satan has power. You can't look at him like he's just the devil. You have to have a certain amount of respect. Because if you don't have the respect for him, you're not going to know what he can do. Have you ever been in a situation and you didn't recognize the power that or the influence or the importance of somebody and you overlooked them, and then all of a sudden you turned around and maybe that person became your boss, or that was the vice president of your company, or that was the owner? It's somebody that you just overlooked, maybe because of the way they were dressed, the way they talked, the way they act. Satan has power, but his power is darkness. But the scripture says that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. So when we're delivered from the power of darkness, Satan and sin, they don't have power on us any longer. Because we have been given the ability to say no to sin, no to temptation, and no to the tricks and traps of the devil. In other words, we're free. In verse 13, he uses another word. He says, we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Translated in this particular sentence means that we have been carried away. We have been carried away. The Lord can carry you away through his power. From the power of darkness, the Lord's power of light is stronger than that. He can carry us away out of the lowland of sin. Amen? So when we have a new father, we have a new king. And we have a new king, that means that we are in a kingdom. And as citizens of the new kingdom, we should have a new way of living. Amen? And verse 14 says, and we have redemption through his blood. Now, the word redemption here means it's to loose, that we're loose after the payment of a ransom. When we have a redemption service and people say, well, what is a redemption? What is redemption? That means that there was a ransom and somebody paid the price for it and you're loose. I need to be talking to some loose people in here today. I need to be talking to some people today who somebody paid a price, a ransom for them, because Jesus died on the cross to redeem us from the wrath of God. Some people say, well, you know, God don't get mad. Oh, yes, he does. Just how mad he gets, his son knows. And his son came down to be the ransom. Father, don't do it to them. Take me. Do it to me. I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, don't do it to them. Do me. Kill me. Don't kill them. A lot of people lie. A lot of people lie. I'm not saying that there won't be certain people you won't die for, but you ain't doing it for everybody. He did it for everybody. Everybody that has died before, everybody that's alive now, everybody that will die in the future. He is a non-discriminatory person when he died. When God saved us, he carried us away. Amen? This redemption that we have, okay, we only got it through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, we have the forgiveness of sin. forgiveness of sin. Now, you know sin is a very, very big word. It's only three letters. But it's a big word. I can't even tell you how many sins there are. We might be here all day and all night when we sit up here and think about the sins there are. But the scripture says that we are redeemed from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? We have been forgiven of each and every sin, and it doesn't make a difference what sin it is. All the things that we did in the lowland, below that snake line of sin, is all still corruption. There's no place for somebody who did two sins and somebody who did 1,000 sins. There's a place for people that sin. Don't justify yourself by saying what you only did. Know that you did it. And you have to be accountable for it. Amen? All of this is evidence that Christ wants us to be on a higher level. And he wants to elevate us to another place. He wants to set us on a higher ground. He has freed us from the power of the serpent to control us any longer. According to the Bible, our new life in Christ goes like this above the snake line. If ye then be risen with Christ, how many are risen with Christ this morning? Come on, how many are risen with Christ this morning? If you're risen with Christ this morning, if you're risen with Christ, it says, if ye have been risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen? For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Not only does he take you away and place you on things above and tells you to set your things, your life, your sights on things above, but he says you are hid. Oh, don't you want to be in God's secret place? Don't you want to be in the secret place of the Most High? The Bible is saying that you are hid from the serpent. You're hid from going down below that line. But you must set your sights on things that are above. So all the carnal things that we set our sights on, that the devil draws our attention to, we got to take our eyes off of that and set our sights on things that are above. I know people set their sights on things when above when they get sick, and I realize that. I understand that people set their sights on things above when close loved ones and stuff like that die. I understand when something negative happens to you, you set your sights on things above. But the scripture says, talks about living a life. We're not talking about when things happen. We're talking about living a life. Set yourself on things that are above. Oh, hallelujah. According to the Bible, we can be lifted higher than we can imagine. So when we go through these negative things, when we go through these sicknesses and illnesses, the Bible tells me this, because I am a child of the Most High. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Don't you know when you're going through these things, you will fly like an eagle. You'll run and not get weary. And as you continue to walk the path, you won't faint. But when you're below that line, those things are going to just tear you down. Because that's what the enemy wants. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. When you're above that, when you're in that height that he can't reach, he can't do those things to you. But when you're below that line, oh, you're pure bait for him. You're pure game for him. You don't even know where you're coming or going. He's sending people at you this way and that way. Sickness, illness, and you don't know where to run, nowhere to hide. But when I'm a child of God, he hides me in that secret place. That place is on high. You see, his secret place is on high because God looks low, but he sits high. Come on, somebody. He sits high. He don't sit low. If you have been elevated, you're not the same person you used to be. If you have been elevated, you don't have the same desires you used to have. If you have been elevated, you have been equipped to live much higher than the world that surrounds you. So when they're talking all this trash and all this garbage that really is nonsense, you are elevated to not be bothered with that kind of stuff. For that, you should do what Paul says, to give thanks unto the Father. They're talking about this nonsense, but I give thanks to the Father that I'm here today. I give thanks to the Father for taking me out of all of my misery, the pain, the suffering. I give thanks to the Father for healing, deliverance. I give thanks to the Father that I'm here on the job and I can do the job and not get bothered with all this foolishness that's just going in here. If you're not saved, you're still in danger. The serpent and his poisonous venom is still going through your veins. You are trapped in sin. Amen? But your story does not have to end that way. Everybody in here, you're at a place in your life right now. But you're not where you're going to end up. You say, what do you say, Pastor? What do you mean? Because some of you, God ain't finished with you yet, and he's still elevating you because you're setting your things on spiritual things up high. And some of you who think that you're so elevated, come on, somebody. Some of you that think that you're so elevated, and I got it made, and your eyes are not set on things up high, but you're set right here. And I'm saying that right here is very close to right here. And you are not going to end up where you think you're going to end up. And you're not going to be where you are today. In our spiritual life, it is a battle each and every day. We must put on the full armor of God each and every day. Because if you don't, you're going out there to fight the devil with a water pistol. And you ain't winning. Instead of you being able to crush his head, he's going to be able to sit on yours. But when you're elevated, he can't get up there to you. He can't use any of his tricks. He can't use any of that power here on the earth that he has against you. Because my God, the enemy only has power right here. But my God has all power in heaven and in earth and below. So if you're a child of God, it doesn't make a difference where you're at. God has all power. So we have been elevated above the snake line, and we have been enlightened about the snake line. Sometimes people say, well, I really didn't know that. But let me tell you what God did. He says the power and the privilege of the new life in Jesus is in stark contrast to the life of sin lived below that snake line. For some of you who don't know, sin is all over your face. The same person that you walk by that says good morning to you, they turn to the other person and say, they were hanging out again last night. See, Sin is all over your face. And you think nobody knows what you were doing but you. Amen? But James says that there is a contrast to when you're walking in the word and when you're living the life of sin. Amen? Listen to what Paul says and how he describes the difference. He says, when we are given a new life above the snake line, I'm ad-libbing here, we are given the ability to know God, know his will, and to know his truth. All is taught in the language of verse 9. So when we go back to verse 9, oh, hallelujah. When we go back to verse 9, it says, for this reason, since the day we heard you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Amen? So what Paul is talking about, when he said that you will be filled, he don't mean filled halfway. He means filled completely up. You know the old story, how you look at the glass. Is it half empty or half full? It depends on your interpretation. Well, my interpretation of what God wants for us is to be filled all the way up to the brim, so there's no need for interpretation the way that we interpret things. Because each and every day, the way that we want to interpret something, that's the way it's going to be for that day. He said, in the knowledge, that means not just a little understanding, but to fully know. He says he wants you to fully know. And how are you going to do that? He says, the will that God has decreed. Sometimes we do something and we think we're doing the will of God. But when you're in the spirit and you're elevated, you'll know God's will for your life. But he didn't just say, well, God is going to just tell you. He said we prayed continuously. So in order to know the will of God in your life, to know the will of God in whatever circumstance you're going through, to know the will of God in whatever it is that you're going through, you pray continuously for the will of God. So you will know when it's his will. Because if you don't know God's will, everybody's got something to tell you. Everybody will fill your head up with what they believe God wants you to do. Come on, somebody. Have you ever asked a question and asked people, let me put it this way, have you solicited advice? You ever solicit advice? You go to this person, you ask them, what color you think I should wear? And they're going to say, she's going to say purple. I think purple looks good on you, because she got on purple. I'm going to come over here and say, what color you think I wear? Should wear? He's going to say, white. I got a white suit on. It looks good on you, because he's got it on. Everybody's going to give you a diagnosis according to what they believe. But we must pray continuously according to get the will of God for our lives. And that's what Paul is telling the saints. He says wisdom, God's truth, known and understood and lived out. People like to say God is a mystery. Well, he is. But God, in his mysterious ways, will tell you exactly what he wants you to know. In his mysterious ways, and his mysterious self, will let you know unequivocally, no doubt about it, what he wants you to know. Because we will get spiritual understanding. You pray continuously. You talk to God, your Father. You will get spiritual understanding. So you say, well, what is that? Sounds nice, Pastor. What is that? That is an intelligence that's outside of ourselves. See, I said I was smart earlier, didn't I? I ain't. Because when I was listening to that intelligence inside of myself, I can't tell you the things I did. When you listen to the intelligence inside yourself, you know the things that you've done. Sometimes I got to turn the conviction around from me to you. You know the things that you've done. But when you pray continuously, you will have a spiritual understanding, the ability to know and comprehend what cannot be known naturally or comprehended. Have you ever prayed for somebody, and then when you saw them and you talked to them, they said, you said, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I prayed for you the other day. And they said, oh, I need a prayer that day. I was going through something, and I was calling on the Lord, and I just needed all the help that I could get. How did you know to pray for that person? I mean, I'm not talking about those people that are running around doing things that we know they shouldn't be doing, but I'm talking about maybe a sister saint, a brother saint, you know, something it hits your spirit, and you say, I'm praying for this person. I don't need to know why, but the Spirit has spoke to me. The Holy Spirit has told me that they're going through something. I don't need to know what it is, but I'm going to be praying for that person. You don't have any real knowledge of what's going on. It's an unnatural thing that's going on, but you're being guided and spoken to by the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. It's the ability to know and comprehend what cannot naturally be known. The Bible puts it this way, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's to say, the things that you pray about continuously, and people think that you're crazy, they don't have the spiritual discernment that God has given you and instilled in you through the Spirit to pray for something, a somebody, a situation. Maybe it's not even now. It might be next week. We don't know God's timing. I always say God is putting you through some things today so he can use you tomorrow. If you're in the Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. You went through some things growing up. You went through some things as a teenager. You went through some things as a young adult. You went through some things in your marriage. You went through some things just walking around. You didn't know why it was happening to you. And you turned and you said, God, why me? And then something happens years later. And you recognize that God invested something in you. We are an investment. He invested something in you so he can use you in his service later on. Oh, hallelujah. No matter who calls you a dog, God is investing something in you. No matter who calls you names, God is investing something in you. Sometimes you might be homeless. God is investing something in you. Sometimes you might not have no money, but God is investing something in you. God is investing faith. He's investing in you. You put money in, it don't mature till years later. You don't mature till years later. Now God is ready to take out a withdrawal in you because he's ready to use you now. He's got the time. He's got the place. He's got the situation. He's ready to use you then. Each and every one of us right now, right here, God has invested in you. Oh, hallelujah. Paul says that those who live above the snake line are enabled to live their lives that are pleasing to the Lord. They are able to live in a manner benefiting what the Lord did for them. Oh, hallelujah. Are you living a life benefiting what the Lord has done for you? You see, he doesn't say that you gotta have a big house, a big home. He says just live a life benefiting what God has done for you. You know what? Maybe you couldn't walk, and they told you you'd never walk again, and God did something. You need to walk in a life benefiting what God has done for you. They said that you will not be able to talk, but all of a sudden words start coming out of your mouth. You need to be talking because God has. How does a saint prove that they're saved? In John 14 and 15, he says they prove it by their obedience. 1 Peter 1 and 16 says they prove it by their holiness. 1 John 3 and 14 says they prove it by their love. Ephesians 2 and 10 says they prove it by their works. In other words, you prove it by the fruit that you bear. Hallelujah. You prove it by the fruit that you bear. Sister House, I don't know anything about your early life, but somebody prayed for you outside of your mother. And you're benefiting, and other people are benefiting from the fruits of your labor. And you benefited from the fruits of the prayer that somebody prayed for you. Your mother and your dad don't have to be the only one that prayed for you. You need other people to pray for you. Maybe some people who will not call to necessarily love you. I just got to say that again. Some people who are not called are obligated to love you. They need to be praying for you. As saints, we need to be praying for one another because you are supposed to love your brother, your sister, because you don't know. You're looking on the outside, but you don't know the investment that God is putting in them right now. Because you might be dead and gone, but that investment that you made with your prayer, the investment that God made into that person, it's going to blow up years later. Maybe not in New Haven, maybe it's in Jamaica. Maybe it's in Florida. Maybe it's in New York. Maybe it's somewhere else. The beauty of it all is that you don't have to see it, but you need to believe it. Because if you pray for somebody and you don't believe it, what are you praying for? You have to believe that sometime, someday, someway, God is going to do something extraordinary in that person, that he's going to see them through, that they're going to be a witness for the Lord. We pray for our children, and we don't know when, but we pray that they'll serve the Lord in some capacity. The capacity don't have to be at 155, because God is all over the place. He needs servants all over the place. I just want them to serve God. I just want them to be a servant. I just want them to give their life to the Lord. If I know that, I'm good. I don't have to see it. It's a story of a little girl. She went to her mother. She said, "Mommy, I know why flowers grow." Mother said, "Well, why do flowers grow?" She said, "Because they want to get out of the dirt." Here's the line. The snake line. That snake line is in the dirt. You want to get away from the snake line, then you need to get away from the dirt. You need to get away from the dirt. Because as long as you're in that dirt, you ain't growing. You ain't growing. Hallelujah. That desire to get out of the dirt should always dwell in our heart. We want to live better because we do know him and we know who he is. So we have to have that desire. But here's the problem that we do. We still sin and sin frequently. And we keep going down to that line. And the only way that we can do it is we got to grow. We can go from the highest top of the mountain to the lowest in the valley real quick. Look at David. He was at the highest top of the mountain, and he went to the lowest. Look at Adam and Eve. They lived in the most perfect environment that will never, ever happen again on this earth as long as you and I are alive. Perfect. But they went down below that snake line. If you have been saved, you know the truth. You know where the snake line is. That line for me is a little different than the line for you. Let us stand.